Hello, listeners. Welcome back. We are here with this week's episode of Infamous and Turtle Champions. I'm Jeremy. I'm here with my most awesome co-host, Almost Buying a Car, Aaron. And Kenny, how are you doing, Almost Buying a Car?
Almost Buying a Car is vacillating between like a 9 and a 2.
So it's not the scheduled day, so it's automatically down at a 4 starting out.
No.
Now, the car buying process has been up or down?
Oh, the car buying process has been up. I love fucking buying a car, man.
Well, yeah, because it takes you 16 days to buy the car. You've been talking about this car for a while.
We didn't get super serious. I had my spreadsheet going for a while. But then yesterday was the first time we went out and looked at them. And we looked at them for 14 hours.
Man.
Well, I don't know how you know what car you want unless you like test drive 2 or 3. And my wife's decision completely changed based off of getting in cars.
Now, it's not a known fact. Like, no, not everyone knows this. But I think, so I'm going to give it to y'all. The amount of information and data that you collected is 4 times that of what put us on the moon originally. So just think about that, folks. Think about that.
And you know what? When I do buy a car, which might be before this podcast actually comes out, I will be sleeping like a baby, knowing I'm getting the car I want for the price I want, and everyone else can go fuck themselves.
I can't stop laughing. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, how's your new car doing, Kenny?
I need a second. I don't have a new car.
Because you don't have the data. Is that what it is?
That is exactly
sift some off.
Oh, man. I cried for a second. Yeah, that's exactly correct. I don't have that problem. Yeah, the problem I had is my wife's car had a flat. And that's my only problem.
I feel targeted that you're calling it a problem.
A flat?
Oh, yeah, no, she had a flat. Well, she drove around on the flat for 2 days until she broke the sidewall. If that makes you feel any better.
Oh, no. No. Worse.
So, yeah. So I was not thrilled about that, but, you know.
So
wonderful. All right, so go ahead.
No, I was going to give more personal stories. Are we done with personal story time?
No. I'm all about making a mockery of your life. Go ahead.
Okay. So in the span of 2 days, I have spoken to about 45 different people because not only am I trying to buy a car, which is awesome and frustrating as hell, because I set up to go see Daryl at, you know, dealership X. I walk in, and despite the fact that I set up this appointment with Daryl, Daryl's not working now. So instead I go see Casey, good. Right? But then the next day, Daryl follows up, and I'm like, and it was Anna, you know, the receptionist who then follows up on behalf of one of the two of those. So I've got like 4 people, 2 of whom I've never even met from dealership A. And because I visited 8 dealerships, there's like 50 people who are all upset that I don't know their names. Anyway.
So, let me give you a little insight into the car business here. You know, my father ran a dealership for like 35 years. Don't ever give them your phone number.
Oh, they can call me all they want, man.
They will hound. Well, yeah, you're retired.
He's retired. He has nothing better to do. He's like my grandpa.
I was going to say, I remember I got a video of my grandpa like 10 years ago answering the phone where somebody's like, "You want to take a political survey?" And he's like, "Hell yes, I do." He's on the phone.
Exactly.
He's on the phone for 20 minutes on my grandpa. We're trying to like have birthday dinner. And he's like, "Well, I'm busy." Like, okay. All right, grandpa.
The best thing you can do in any car shopping experience is never buy a car the first day. Like, you just walk away from everything. Like, some guy called me up today and was like, "What do you need to do?" And I was like, honestly, like, I like your car, but I think I'm going to go with a different model, like a different make and model. And you're just priced higher than they are. Like, you'd have to come down like $5,000. And I'm not trying to lowball you. Like, that's not reasonable. I'm just letting you know where I'm at. I'm going to buy this other model because it's $5,000 less expensive. And so he came back with $2,000 off was already, I thought, a fair price for that car. So bottom line, always walk away day one, and they will call you back if there's a deal to be had. Not saying there always is. But so the most fun part of the buying experience yesterday was there was only one dealership whose sales manager came out and said, well, what's stopping you from buying a car right now, today, here? You know what my answer was?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Common sense. I said common sense. He just looked at me weirdly, and I'm like, what, dude? There's no way I'm buying a car from you right now. Anyway.
So just make sure that before you commit to anything, or when they say, ask them what their fees are first for their processing fees. Because what they will do.
I just say, give me your walk out the door price. I cut your
You'll have to give a shit, because what they'll do, and I've seen it, is they'll tell you, I'll take $1,000 off the car. They'll give you an extra $1,000 in fees, or they'll take $1,000 off of your trade-in behind your back.
Yeah.
They do this all the time.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
And so there was – so I strongly dislike dealerships that will, you know, throw on a bunch of dealer add-ons.
Yes.
Right? And so we went to some that did, some that didn't, and then one – did, but then they gave you 10% off MSRP, and they're like, and I know if you don't want this add-on, it's required, but if you like refuse, then I have to reduce the MSRP reduction by whatever, like I'm shorting them by not taking their stupid add-on. And I was like, you know what, I don't care. All I care about is the number I'm writing this check for. I don't care how you get there, whether it's a dealer fee, an admin fee, $4,000 clear coat protection, fairy dust. Like, it doesn't matter to me. All I care is what number am I writing on this check, however you get there.
Right.
So that's my anyways, how I buy a car. So enough about the car buying.
I'm more of a hustle and flow style buyer. I know how much you gave me the price for, but say this little lady back here were to hang out and I go over here, and then what you say if she walks out with a car? And that always works, right? I saw Hustle and Flow. I know how this works.
I just walk in and say, what is it going to take for you to get me to buy this car today? What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Well, the cars we're looking at actually all getting are all on order. So it's really hard to – I don't have a strong negotiating stance.
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
Whoever shows up with the car first.
Yeah, got to put a deposit. Anyway, so that was bottom line. I'm talking to a lot of people. The second thing that happened in this 2-day period was my son flooded my house. It's not an exaggeration. There is a Toyota-sized hole in my dining room right now.
He knows because he knows the dimensions of a Toyota.
Absolutely correct. Where the drywall did not just get wet, but came crashing down. I'm dealing with a bunch of contractors to come in and fix my ceiling, which is basically make a whole new one. I decided, the do-it-yourselfer that I am, that we're going to fix his sink that overflowed. And as part of that, I'm like, we're just going to replace the whole drain and faucet assembly. So I go to shut off the water valve, or shut off the water via the valve, and the entire thing breaks off my hand.
The joys of homeownership.
Yeah. So while I'm dealing with a Toyota-sized hole and buying a Toyota, I now have a broken-off shut off valve in my hand. I'm like, I should probably call someone besides me to come fix this.
So was there water leaking at that point? Or
I was trying to shut off the water so I could uninstall the faucet and drain.
Right.
So nothing is leaking at the moment, but I have a problem that needs to get fixed.
But you're on
sooner
shaky
rather
ground.
Than later, because I still want the faucet and drain replaced.
You're on a shaky ceiling. Got it.
And then at the same time, I'm trying to get an EV charger installed in my garage. So it's just been a really busy 2 to 3 days, which is not bad, but vacillating between walking home and finding my house flooded and, you know, the highs of almost buying a new car. So,
and you're going to, when this is all over, you're going to get that euphoria that we talked about.
Oh my God. All I know is that is a lot of adult shit all at once.
Yeah.
You can have it. I'd rather have the other kinds of things, which is, my air conditioner is getting a tiny bit warm. I better call these people and make them come fix it immediately or I will freak out.
Man, I went to the zoo, so
oh my. All right. So let's get back to the topic at hand, this amazing game and all of its wonder. Aaron, did we do anything wrong last cast? Were we yelled at all?
No, in fact I got 4 DMs saying, "Good job, guys. You are rocking it."
Bullshit.
Hells yeah. Why the fuck are you the leader? First off.
What?
Second off.
If you would win more, Jeremy.
Thank you all for saying that. Well, obviously, I don't scare people. I just try and bring them to the to the crowd of like, this guy's cool, right?
You are much cooler
We're
than
having
I.
A super fun time.
You got that nailed.
Thank you. I played MCP last weekend, and the guy told me he was a big fan, and I was like, awesome, 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 and we almost went to blows at the end of it, and I felt horrible.
Why are you beating up our
and
listeners,
then I realized it went to time. It was just this crazy moment where I got like hostile mad because the game was in the bag and some moves happened. And I'm like, this is bullshit. This guy's out of his mind. So then like all of a sudden I went into like rage mode for no fucking reason because everybody else had won their games. Anyway, yeah. So just because you're a listener doesn't mean I won't go psychotic. I'm sorry. It just, that's how it is. But yeah, thank you for comments. Always let us know if you're enjoying what we're doing. We kind of are out here in space. No one's watching us and clapping in the background. We have no fucking clue. So, games played. I know we all played some games. Kenny, you want to talk us through some games you lost?
Not really. No.
But what if I want you to?
I've already blocked those out. So.
Ooh.
Don't worry though. They are recorded, so I will be able to watch them again.
Strong.
No, I lost.
Oh, that's true.
Was it last week? I lost to Jeremy and Aaron back to back.
Whose fault was the fact that you lost?
Well, the one game against you, I lost. I basically choked that game right out the fucking window.
You did. You fucked that up. That was on you. It's not my fault that you can't beat yourself.
I beat myself. That's exactly what happened. I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but. But yeah, I fumbled the football at the fucking 1 yard line. And then Aaron just outright owned me. I'm pretty sure that's how that went.
You got.
I got. And then I played Gar from the Muse. We played I think you played him too, Aaron, but I played him, was it the day before yesterday?
I did.
Just pass him around.
Yeah, we had a good game. I got kind of wild where I was like, I'll take some chances and we were doing some stuff, and then next thing I know, I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. This is not good for me. And then Fazil went the fuck off. I ended that game with Don Rigar having 4 souls, because Fazil kept feeding him souls.
So, okay.
It got wild. I had a level 3 Don Rigar with 4 souls on him by the end of the game.
So, first off, one of the videos we're getting ready to put out is pretty cool. Aaron was in the background kind of talking his way through the game with us. And if you're interested in learning, for those that are brand new or just want to kind of hear us talk about our game more, teacherly. I don't know exactly what to say with that. But it will be posted up soon. And it's kind of a cool game. It's not just a battle report style, nobody doing anything. We tried to do a little more than that.
If you watch closely and listen, you will hear Aaron fall.
No. He said it's not a fall. It's a graceful decline.
So he glides. He doesn't fly, he glides.
Yeah, I don't fall, I glide. There you go. So that started off pretty teacherly, but then you and Kenny started to take it pretty serious.
We got salty, didn't we? Did we get salty? I can't remember.
A little bit.
No.
Like, not horribly. But you were definitely, like, both focused on playing this game and trying to win. So I was trying to, like, comment on the game. So the first part of the game, there's some pretty good commentary. And then I just shut up because you guys are just, like, staring daggers at each other. Not in a mean way, but just, like, in a very competitive way.
It all starts off as, like,
fun. Yeah, I thought you were
just
not saying. I'm not sure what was going on.
I said it all starts off
fun. I blacked out, woke up, won the game.
Yeah. So it all starts off as fun, and then all of a sudden the juices start flowing, you start playing, you're like, I'm going to crush your fucking soul!
And then Kenny makes one move that should win in the game, but loses in the game because he's an idiot. Oop, spoiler.
We've already talked about it. That is 100% accurate.
Then we recorded a second game where everyone decided to talk about everybody by name, by first, last names, and also giving addresses and their parents' maiden names. I was like, yo, we're online. And this isn't us necessarily. This is more like passerbyers. We're like, obviously got a camera set up. We have shit going on. And then blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my God, y'all. Whoa, killers.
That game doesn't even need to make
it. So we won't push that one.
No, probably. Well, he probably will.
It was so fast.
Our editor-in-chief probably will post it.
It was so fast, it wasn't even worth watching. Don't watch it, anyone. Never, ever watch it.
Don't never, ever,
oh,
ever.
Is that your game with me? Oh, everyone's watched that one.
No, yeah.
That was a wipeout bloodbath.
It was over pretty fast. There's nothing to gain from that.
So I played another game with Jake on Monday. He was playing his ball of Never Die, Ista. And I was playing my regular list of Krognar, which is, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take out a couple models just to try some new things. So I took out some of my standards and I put in Piper and who was the other one I put in? It doesn't really matter. The whole story is kind of about me dominating for 3/4 of the game. And then Brock, from his effigy, gets pluses to movement, does all kinds of crazy shit, kills 2 monsters, ups himself to level 3, and then nukes Doniger, who had stone form, with a 3-dice explosion. I was like, holy shit. It went so sideways on me, and he ended up winning that game. It was one of those games where, again, I was just grinding it out, and I'm like, I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not giving you anything. And then all of a sudden, Brock comes out of fucking nowhere and, like, multiple crits. It was totally nuts. It's why people take Brock, right? The mm-hmm. other side of the coin is the he never hits a crit, and he just shits the bed and dies. So it was Brock doing his thing. I mean, he gained both his levels on the way to killing me. He power slid into me. Basically, he power slid twice with his backswing. He got the backswing move, used the backswing, killed the thing, moved, used his backswing, and then blew me up. It was crazy. I've never had that happen to me.
Yeah, Brock can do... depending on what Ista is playing, he is their damage dealer. If you ban him, well, there's not a lot of damage that's getting done.
Lately, I've been banning Donnie every time I see him because it creates a much more fun game for me. Regardless, I don't like the mental tax that Donnie puts on the table of how to deal with that. So he kind of played with his all-stars. That's fine. And again, I knew where everybody was going to be. I just didn't expect him to slide twice with all those crits. It just went crazy.
Right. I'm at the point now where I've got plans in place for Donnie that I'm putting now. 2 things that can deal with res models in almost every roster that I build.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't like... his bodyguard is just really good.
I agree. I mean, he's super... He's very efficient at what he does. He's very good.
Yep. Did you all play any other games?
I think it was just those 3 for me. I've had a fairly busy weekend. This weekend, I am fairly open.
Okay. Go ahead.
I finished a long run of Blood Bowl weekends. I played my 6th Blood Bowl tournament in 4 weeks.
Damn.
Played on Friday evening, finished at 10:30, got in the car, drove, got to Nebraska at 2 a.m., crashed, woke up the next morning, played in Nebraska, and came back. So, and I've been doing that for about the past 4 weeks. So, heavy Blood Bowl.
Your ceiling fell through.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to give my family some huge kudos, because I don't know how many spouses out there, when their ceiling falls in, are going to be like, don't worry, I've got this. I've got buckets. I've got towels. I'm going to take care of all this. And how many would immediately go, honey, the ceiling fell in. My wife was in the first category. I didn't know about it. I didn't know about it the night I got home. She just walked me right past the dining room and to bed. And the next morning, she's like, wow, I've got a story. And I'm like, okay. I am the next morning, drinks a coffee, staring at the ceiling. I'm like, huh.
You didn't even know until the next day after you got home?
Oh, wow. So we have a very, bad news doesn't need to be delivered until it needs to be delivered. like what am I going to do about it in Nebraska? Just stew on it while I'm playing? Great. Like, unless I can actively, if I need to do something and can do something to affect the situation, then great, call me. Otherwise, I've told her, if one of our kids dies when I'm on a work trip, don't tell me. I'd rather live those 48 hours not knowing that happened.
Well, all right.
So, anyway.
I was going to say, if I remember right, you were saying that she wouldn't tell you if they were raptured. You would find out when you got home.
Absolutely, yes. And then.
Because we know you would not be raptured.
Probably not until I asked about them.
Yeah. Where are the kids? It's
been 3 days. Haven't seen the kids in 6 weeks. Where are they at?
Yeah.
So I was able to gather up another judgment player. Parker has been fiddling around the edges for a very long time. Parker's
going to play judgment?
Yes, sir.
He's been talking, or he's been casually looking and asking small questions.
After MCP, after our big MCP tournament, I was like, dude, do you want to go back to the shop after we got done eating and just, we'll do a game. I'll put you in a demo, all of that. He was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. What he did not realize is how long that games take if you don't know the game. Yeah. But he was fine with it. We played through a game. I mean, this guy's a teacher. He's been playing games his whole life as well, like all the rest of us. By turn two or three, he was murdering stuff and moving around the board how he wanted. He loved it. So then Monday, I was at the shop playing a game with Jake. He comes up to me, hands me $300 of models, and he says, I would like these painted, please. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Is that all it takes? I just got to bring models to you? That's it?
He has to tell me the retail price because that's what I told him I would paint his for. I'm only trying to get him in the game, folks. I don't have anything to paint. And I told him I would do it because I want him playing the game. But yeah, man, he's totally in. He bought a warband of a bunch of Minotaurs and some other stuff. 10 models he's in.
So he bought the core?
No.
No, just 10 models.
No. These are all resin fucking models I got to put together.
Charge him double. My models are already put together. I'm just saying, if I showed up with models and handed them to you, would I ever get them back?
You're already in the game. I'm not worried about that.
Fucker.
This is it's a one-time, yeah.
All right.
Also, if I wanted to, I would just hand him the models that I've already painted and then repaint mine. So,
I guess that's also whatever. That's also fair.
Yeah, so that's cool. We're bringing new people in the game all the time. Jake ended up bringing another guy in, doing a demo, and playing a game with him right after I played on Monday. So this thing's just growing and growing and growing.
There was someone else on the Discord who posted that they want a demo tomorrow. Did you see that?
Wow. I did not. I haven't. Okay. Been very busy today. Yeah. I haven't looked.
I may not be there with car buying. I might. So if you're able to bring a 3x3, Matt.
Yeah, that's the key. I forgot, and me and Parker played a 5, but honestly, he was fine.
Okay.
In fact, he really enjoyed playing multiple models and looking at things, and he just, a 3 wouldn't have done any good for Parker, I don't think. He probably would have played two 3s. Okay, I want to try this the way I know it works. Okay, yeah. Dude.
Anyway, look at the Discord. Yeah. You can reply if you're able to commit to a demo tomorrow.
For sure. Kenny, do you have anything you would like to rage about? This is your corner.
I really need to write down what makes me angry because I forget.
I know what makes you angry.
What made me angry?
Rolling dice that win you the game, picking them up, and proceeding to not win the game.
Here, okay, all right.
Enrage button, go.
When you roll dice, don't get upset that you didn't roll exactly what you thought you were going to roll. You're just kind of upset because when you scoop the dice, it's uncouth to go, well, that's what this was because. You don't know, and it was a big question mark. I mean, I'm mad at myself because I fucking did it. If I had to scoop the dice, I would have just won the game.
So explain what the ability was and what was going on there.
It was, I'm pretty sure it was Mazuzi, mm-hmm. right? And it was, I shot you, I'm fairly certain I rolled a J and a combat maneuver. And I needed to do 2 damage. I did 1 damage, but... The J and the combat maneuver would have given me the 1 point of true damage on the combat maneuver to kill your mom.
Uh huh.
After that,
but how would we know that?
Well, we did record it. I'm fairly certain.
Wow, no, we could have.
I'm fairly certain it was correct that I rolled that. But I scooped the dice because I'm like, well, I didn't kill you? I rolled 3 dice and couldn't do. Was it 4 dice?
It was a 4 die attack.
It was a 4-eye attack.
You needed a solid, and you got the glance, and you probably had the Viper shot, but could not confirm because the dice were in your hand at that point.
Because I picked because I had scooped the dice up because I was frustrated. Don't do that. That costs you games. Leave the dice in the fucking tray. If I would have left the dice in the tray, I could have looked at it again and been like, oh, no, I kill you, I get the soul, and I basically just win the game.
So the funny, what was also funny about that is this happens in games pretty, not regularly, but from time to time, right? Like, we're all in those situations. And me, I tend to be on the other side of it, watching someone squirm with this whole thing. So for me, I'm always like, all you have to do is be like, I'm pretty sure I got it, right? And I would go, yeah, sure, man, we're done, cool. I love watching people squirm. And to try and figure out what they're going to do with this, because they're the ones that fucked it up. Like, I'm just like, okay, dude, what are you going to do?
You mean scoop dice?
yeah, well, when it's one of those situations in any game where they had it or not, and it's on that person, like you, to decide how you want to move forward. And you chose the one. There was no way to prove it aside from rewinding the tape. You chose to go, okay, I fucked up. It's my bad. Let's keep playing, even though I think I got it. But there's no way to know, so let's just keep playing. It's my bad. I fucked up.
Yeah.
Some people would have been like, well, I got it, right? And then push for that, right? They'll lean on you, even though there's no way to prove it. Either way, I'm fine. I'll live. Like, that was definitely, you should have got a solid, and that would have been game, right? Like, that was easy enough to do.
Right. I will never,
but ever, I always find it interesting.
I will never ever scoop dice out of a tray and then say, "Well, I got this." I typically, I still might fuck it up, but I typically leave dice in the tray until we have resolved what we're doing. Like, you see it, I say, "I got a solid." You go, "Okay," and you start marking damage, and then I scoop the dice. Once it's been acknowledged, yes. But what happened was I rolled it and went, "Fuck!" and picked the dice up.
Yeah, you did.
Like, super fast. And then I looked at Aaron and I said, fuck, again. I'm pretty sure.
You started looking at your card. Yeah, and you're like, I think that.
And then I'm standing there and I'm like, I already scooped dice. I'm not going back. I'm not doing it because I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to scoop dice and then say, oh, I had it. That will never fucking happen for me. And if it does, if it ever does happen, somebody call me on it because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Anybody pushing for that, I mean, I'm going to call them out on it. I'm like, no, you scoop dice. And if they push it, that's fucked up. I will say it to somebody's face. That's fucked up. You shouldn't do that.
Well, it's no different, right, than some people like picking a model up, moving, then all of a sudden bringing a measuring template and going, I'm pretty sure I had that. I think I just moved wrong. And then they're just pushing that, right? Like, and you know, most, like us, I'm pretty certain we would be like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. We shouldn't have got the templates off.
Right.
Like, we moved, yep. We're short, live with it.
Yeah.
But lots of people will move. Like, those kind of things happen. And again, when it happens to me, I usually let people decide on their own and just kind of see how the game's going to go. Like, you done it. You messed it up. And like, are you leaning on me to try and move me? Like, I'm a heart, like... Like, my heart's going to grow three sizes too big and just be like, you know what? Today you deserve this, big guy. Like, fuck, dude, it's on you. I don't know. What do you want?
It depends on when that happens in a game. But usually you figure out usually within a turn how loose or tight someone plays with the rules or plays with the game. And I will typically match that tempo. But in this case, this is not something that's like, well... You know, I pick up my model and I move it like four spaces. Ah, I fucked up. I didn't move correctly. I'm going to put it back where it initially started. That's not one of those things. This was I scooped dice. So
along those lines, I have a story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's Blood Bowl related. There was a Blood Bowl tournament that I hosted. Someone that we might know whose name rhymes with make made a grievous error in this tournament by setting up too many people on the field.
Yeah.
So by the rules, if you do this and your opponent's like, ah, I notice you have too many people, your opponent gets to remove the model of their choice.
Okay.
So
his
opponent utilized that rule to remove his best player.
Oh no.
So, as expected.
Bad on rhymes with make to have set up too many players. However, if I was that opponent, what would I have done, Kenny?
You would have probably let them choose the player they want to take off.
I would have stopped him before we rolled the kickoff event and been like, you have too many people on the field. Would you like to remove one and reset up?
Yeah.
Now, if I thought about it way later on, like I didn't catch that. So that's what happened. The guy knew it, right? He let Mr. Make walk into a trap and was like, aha, fuck you. Completely within the rules, right?
That is a now I know what I'm dealing with scenario.
Yep.
And usually
it,
what
now in this game, it was over. Like when you take your best model,
yes,
in Blood Bowl, and you're just like, you don't get to play with that guy anymore. Like
if you got more work on the table,
statistically,
and I say,
right?
He's out.
That's right. Basically yeah. What it was. Yeah. So anyway. Really, really, really horrible, feels bad moment for Mr. Make. And I told the guy afterwards, I was like, you were totally legal. Yep, you can do that. You could also not, right? Like, cause at the end of the day, like, this is a tournament, but tournaments and Blood Bowl are worth, like, you know, some, you know, cheesily painted trophy, right? It's not like you're playing for Magic the Gathering money. Like, at the end of the day, we're all coalescing in a room to play games and have fun. What type of an opponent would you want to play against is what I always try to hammer into my heart, right? So I don't understand why you would want to win so much that you would leverage every rules ability you could to get there. Anyway, so fast forward to last weekend, I'm playing against this very individual who sets up 12 models on the pitch.
No fucking way.
One more than you are allowed. So I let him go and I was like, are you deployed? And he was like, yes. I put my my dice for the kickoff over the my dice tower that I use in Blood Bowl for the rolling of dice. I said, okay, now, I'm going to choose not to be an asshole and let you remove a model of your choice and reset up before I drop these dice. He's like, huh? And he counts his models. He's like, oh, shit. He removes one, resets them up, and I drop the dice. We play the half. So anyway, I did make sure to call him out. Like, yes, you were an asshole the other day. Legally, you were correct, but you're an ass. I'm not going to be that guy, and I'm going to show you how to be the opponent you want to be.
Yeah, even after...
Now, I'm being too harsh, but the guy's a nice guy.
I would say if I noticed it after dice were rolled, I was like, okay, you can't reset up, but pick a model and take it off. Like, I'm going to let you pick your own model to take off the field. Unless that, I mean, I'm a petty bitch. So if this person had done this like to me specifically in the past, like say 6 months ago, this person did this to me, and then I had a chance to get them on 6 months later, I would go ahead and I would look at them, I'd roll the dice, stare them in the eyes, make sure they're looking like I'm the captain now. Look, it's like now you fucked up. You know this, right? And I'd just go one. I would count slow, one, two. But I'm a petty bitch.
I know. I want to say that I wouldn't be, and I would have done the exact same thing had it been me instead of Mr. Make, but I don't know that I can honestly say that. I think it's 50-50 as to whether I would have taken the high ground and shown how to be the opponent versus delve into pettiness.
It depends. I fully admit I'm a petty bitch.
I'm saying I might have been too.
So. But anyway,
and you would be laughing while taking their best model off the board. Like you'd be laughing, and it would just again, it's they would never forget you.
Because I mean, it really depends. The way it sounds is that person was not very nice with what they did, and I would have remembered that. And 6 months down the road, I would have. Mm-hmm. I would have definitely told that story to all my friends after the game. It's like, you know what I did? Oh yeah, I remember last time I stick it in you. That's what I'm.
You stick it in you. It's your money anyway.
Yes, I'm straight up going Rounders, Teddy KGB on them.
Okay. Anyway, there's a.
Okay, on the same kind of topic, just really quickly. If someone rolls the wrong amount of dice, this is on Discord right now, people are talking about it. What is the right way, Kenny, to deal with that? If your opponent rolls, say, 5 dice, they should have rolled 4. What do you do?
Reroll the dice with 4 dice instead of 5.
What if they got 5 J's and it didn't matter? Just take one out.
No,
or 5 blanks.
You're saying that they should have rolled 4 dice?
Yep. And like, does it 5? Matter if there are 5 J's or 5 blanks?
No, roll the dice. I'm of the camp of... even if they mess up and it's in my favor, I say re-roll the dice. I say roll the correct amount of dice. Now, if they're supposed to roll 5 and they roll 4, usually I'll just say add a die. Just add re-roll or just roll one more die into the tray or whatever. But if they roll too many, it's always re-roll dice, right?
No, if you paid attention to Discord, people have different philosophies.
Okay.
I fully 100% agree and support your position.
What's the philosophy then?
Some people will say, well, you screwed up by rolling too many dice. Therefore, whichever result is beneficial to me, we're going to do. Either
Judge.
I choose to keep this result because it's good for me, or, oh shit, that was five J's. Now you can re-roll that because you only should have rolled four.
I'm in the camp of I re-roll it all. I say the same thing when I talk about dice in the tray. If I roll dice and the dice pop out of the tray, I'm re-rolling the dice no matter what.
Sure. And I think communication is key, right?
Yes.
The problem is, like, you think it's not a question. You just automatically re-roll no matter if anyone re-rolls too many, you re-roll it. But if you're playing against someone who doesn't have that expectation, that's a problem. But you get used to playing against, like, us, and we have that same mentality. And so it's hard to remember to go over all of the conventions of a game with every opponent you ever play with.
Yeah, that's accurate. I could see that being a problem. Same saying, like, if I roll too many dice and I roll two hits and how about like five blanks and somebody goes, well, I'll just take that because I don't want to get the chance of you rolling, you know, two J's. I mean, I get it. I'm in the camp of if you roll too many dice, re-roll the correct amount of dice. I'm in that camp.
I will re-roll always. Here's why. When I roll dice, the number of dice I'm rolling is usually an agreed upon number. Especially in this game where it changes all the time based off of pluses and minuses.
Right.
Right. So I will always give my opponent, a second and a half. I'm like, okay, charging 3 plus 2, 5, rolling five dice. That gives them the chance to like confirm, yes, it's five dice. Or if they're like, oh, hold on a second, it should be four with cover, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's four with cover. So it's not like I'm over there just rolling dice randomly without announcing them.
Right.
And this is a shared information game. I expect my opponent to be bought into ensuring we're both playing by the same correct set of rules. And so if they're just going to know I'm rolling the wrong amount of dice, wait and see the roll, and then tell me afterwards, like, that's kind of bogus, man. Like, we're both in this together.
I think that we need as many dice as 40K uses. That way it doesn't matter. It's just a boatload and then a boatload. And you just assume that they're on some of the same page and they just either pull them out or move them to the side. And it's just a handful. And you're like, okay, 40 goes to 20 and 20 goes to 5. Excellent. I'll roll 5 saves. Anyway, I'm in the camp of just re-roll the damn things. If you missed one, roll one extra die. Go for it. Whatever. Like, but it is interesting to see how people have... are working that out differently. I don't know. I don't know which is right or wrong, but you definitely don't get to pick the good ones and bad ones out of my tray for me. I would lose it.
Yeah, I could see this being... Like, this would be an easy fix for a tournament packet, right? You just put in the tournament packet. If the incorrect number of dice are rolled, you always re-roll no matter what.
You don't read Discord, do you? No. The problem there is that someone's going to you're supposed to roll 7, they roll 6. They have 6 blanks. According to that tournament packet, they would then get to pick up all 7 dice and re-roll them all.
Yeah, but what if they were supposed to roll 7 and they rolled 6 and they rolled 6, 3 J's?
I'm just saying, sure. Then maybe their opponent doesn't notice it and they get away with it.
Okay, well.
Right? So the only fair way is if you ever roll too few... You add in dice.
Yes, I usually add in dice.
That way you cannot be cheesed. You always re-roll if over, and if under, you add in to correct amount. It is, as far as I know, impossible to ever cheat that system of, or convention, if you will.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I think I've always rolled, like, just rolled an extra dice. I'm like, oh, I should add one more dice because of mounted. I forgot Fazeel's mounted. I'm just going to roll one more die. And I do it without even thinking about it, because I just, even if it's bad for me, which it has been.
Oh, the dice roll, yes.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
It's like adding an extra die is never bad for you.
Well, no, but I'm saying,
if the initial die roll was bad.
If the initial die roll was, oh, I'm trying to decap you and I don't get it, oh, I guess I'll re-roll all these dice. No, I just add one more die in.
Yep.
One last topic before we go on our main topic. Maps. Have either of you thought about trying to make a map? Like,
I have. I asked Aaron once, and he told me basically to piss off.
Oh.
You remember that, Aaron?
Okay, so...
he doesn't
My thought is, the map packet is good. Hopefully each season it changes a little bit, maybe finding the best ones, keeping those, moving past the ones that are maybe voted to be not the best. And I think everyone out there, this is kind of a call to arms, if you will. Start putting some maps together. Like, just, these are not the 8 maps created and live and die on those. Like, we're going to change those. There will be changes. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. Just looking at it, it's a lot more difficult than I had thought. So kudos to the folks that have had put them out there and made them, most of them, very, very good, and the others that aren't very good are still good. So I just want to make a comment on that. Okay, moving on. Let's go to the reason people come to listen to us, because not only is their travel hindered by traffic and they're bored, we are also awesome. And with that, our weekly review this week, we're going to go over some Soul Gazers. We'll do all the Soul Gazers next. This week, we're going to do Nias, Aaron's very, very most favorite, very, very favorite model.
It's because she's the demon princess of ecstasy. That.
So I realize we've been a little long-winded with our chit-chat, so we're going to kind of do her justice, but we'll kind of move this along. So she's a Mel 7, which is interesting for a Soul Gazer, who you normally think of as your support piece in the back. Agi 5, Soul Harvest 6. So that kind of sets her apart from a lot of the other Soul Gazers right there. Her health is on the low side, 14, 15, 16, and she's in Krognar and Torin. She only has a melee weapon, going with her high Agi Mel stat line. Reach of 1, 2, 3, 4. Not a dedicated bruiser, but a good melee piece. Common innate abilities are Coalesce, Immune to Poison, and Soul Master. She has 1 combat maneuver, Poison Cloud. For 2 combat maneuvers, if you're damaged by her attack, you suffer poison. A second target also suffers poison.
Within two
of Nias. Yep. So people will take her with, say, Rakir or Fazeel, people who like poison synergies, and then they'll use her as a poison setup piece. And I say that people will do this. I have heard people do this. I haven't actually seen it. She has 2 more active abilities. Rejuvenate for 1 action. Adjacent friendly hero heals 3 points, plus 1 for each soulbound to Nias and the friendly hero. Nias does not get to double dip. So if Nias has 2 souls and someone else has 1, they would heal for 6. So some potentially really good healing from Nias. She can also heal herself since she is adjacent to herself. I find it to be a good heal, but not top tier. We'll talk more about it in a second. Last active ability at level 1 is Hypnotize for a Fate. Target enemy within 2 hexes cannot execute active abilities that have a Fate cost. Expires at the end of that model's next activation. Okay, let's go back and give some quick ratings to these, starting with Poison Cloud. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on Poison Cloud?
Being that she's melee 7, she can probably get this off more often than not. Poison's great. Poison for other characters is great. I give it a 6.
Kenny.
I'm trying to remember what I've given others in the past. I think I want to say mostly 5 for giving like conditions. The Poison Cloud, it allowing you to do a second target within 2 with like not needing to roll a J. Just straight up, you get it. I'm going to value that a little higher. I'm going to put it at a 7.
Okay. I'm going to go 6. And this is only because I still view her primary role as being a Soul Harvester. I have yet to really just ignore that and play her as just a bruiser. If I were to do that, I think super low health pool really has me scared to try that hardcore. But if I were to pair her with like a Dhanragar, you know, or any other defender ability that could redirect, I definitely think there's play there using her as just a melee specialist. The problem is I think other people do that better, right? Why am I going to take her over Drolgoth? And maybe someone can answer that. So because I don't get to attack with her as often, I'm not sure how valuable that maneuver is. But for everything Kenny just said, poison's great, and for free on a second person is also good. So. We'll go with 6. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rejuvenate, the heal. Start with Kenny.
Is this what, the second best single target heal in the game? Or is it the third?
Bastion's the best. Isabelle is pretty good.
I'm gonna give this a 7. It's, we talk about how you're charging a model in and killing another model, and then you want to keep that model alive because you're worried about the clapback and losing your soul. Nias can help by healing that model if it doesn't just get one shot. But if you run in with a full health Thorgar, for example, and then you clap back and Thorgar's down to 8 health because he was at full, he was at 20 or whatever, and somebody did 12 damage to him, she can heal, what, at least three plus one of that back up if he's got a soul on him? Seems pretty good.
Jeremy?
What did you rate it, Kenny?
Did I say 7?
Oh, did you say 7?
I think I'm going to go 7, because I think it's a great heal.
It's cool that it's a soul gazer and a healer, being that those are usually helper models, so I really like that. I'll give it a 6 as well. I like that.
It really, really bothers me that it is adjacent.
Is it adjacent? Mm-hmm. It's within 2. Or no, wait, what is it? Is it adjacent? It is adjacent. Okay. Yes. Well.
Yeah, the other two people both have better healing abilities and is within 2. Yeah. I just don't understand how that would break her in terms of using her as a support model. Because she's either going to be in the fray healing people and only gets better if she has souls, which just makes her more of a target. Like, it's anti-synergistic getting souls on your melee beaters. And then not GTFOing, but then using them to heal other people. Most often I see this used healing herself, right? She's going to take usually one big hit unless they focus on her, because they're going to charge. They're going to get one bucket of dice, and after that they're just going to try to, you know, glance her with, you know, 1 to 2 dice. So her being able to heal for 3 or 4 every turn once she's got a soul can be really good. I almost wish it was she heals herself and it gets to be +1 from where it's at now, or maybe 2 plus souls and it goes to 2 hexes. I just don't like its current iteration all that much. I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll like to come back down to a 6. I didn't realize. I was reading Hypnotize. I was looking at 2 hexes. That's my, but yeah. I didn't realize it was adjacent. So that brings it down a little bit for me.
And the last active ability at level 1 is Hypnotize. Can't execute active abilities with a fate cost. To include Cleanse. Am I wrong?
Does it?
Ooh, question.
Yeah. Is Cleanse an active ability?
Is it?
I don't... I think it's an action you can take.
I don't think it's active.
And I think I would say the same for the Fate Heal. I think
you're
that
right.
would be also
it's not
the same
listed
thing.
As an active ability. Okay. Disregard. So all the Fate Cost stuff. But if you wanted to stop Donnie from going into, you know, Stone Grasp, or Styx from being able to Astral Split. Granted, some of those could be executed from outside of 2 hexes from her. But she's definitely not going to be able to... Well, I guess she could put it on them within 2 hexes and then leave and do something else. So,
yeah, because it's a fate, not an AP.
Yep.
Or an, it's not an enemy. AP.
Really kicks
fate.
Rakir. It kicks Rakir straight in the nuts.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Rakir, Zanya, well. Right?
Yep.
Yep.
All the people.
You are really convincing me to put this model on the table right now.
Every time we talk about a model, I throw it back in my list. I'm like, yep, that model's excellent.
Here's my issue with this. It costs a fate to prevent your opponent from spending fate. So if your opponent is, let's call it quasi-fate star, like they've got 2 or 3 models that could use fate, and they've got 2 fate left, we're like, okay, I guess Rakir's not spending fate this turn. It just helps them more efficiently, not efficiently, it helps them prioritize where their fate's going to get spent without them having to think about it. Now, Rakir using Toxin might have been the best play that turn, so this could be very good, but it's not like they're not going to get to spend that fate somewhere.
So my reply to that would be, if I told you you could spend a fate so that a pick a model doesn't get to spend fate to do their super special thing, Is that something you would be interested in?
The answer is yes. It is not a bad ability.
I just sold you
Can
a
I
car.
I sell you on. Mm. I'm going to give that one a 3. I don't know if we rated it, but I'm going to give it a 3. It's very situational.
I'm going to give it a 4.
I'm at a 3. I think it's situational, but I do think that situationally, if you told me that I could just spend a fate and a model couldn't do their super sexy ability, I would be like, yeah, I'd like that out of my model, please. Thank you.
There are turns where this ability will be a 10. It will straight up turn the tide of the game.
Yeah, like if you got a Rakir and I got a poisoned model standing in front of him, I'm like, no, you don't get to do that shit. Yes, please.
Right. So I would just need to see that used more consistently to be able to rate this ability higher.
I agree.
Okay. So moving on to level 2, Nias is a demon, and as such, she gets to pick her level of ability. The first unique innate ability is physical augmentation. Nias permanently gains +1 to any attribute other than Red's. I'm pretty sure that's the first one taken by 95% of people in the world, and usually to make her agi 6. Although Soul Harvest 7 and Melee 8 are also pretty sexy.
Melee 8. That is pretty wild.
I mean, I like the +1 agility, but that's just me.
So at some point you get to where it's too much of one thing, right? So you could give +1 agility, and then you could give her boots of agility, and she's agi 7. Like, well, once you hit 6, I was rolling 1 dice anyway, so it really doesn't matter what your agility is, right? So it's diminishing returns, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, like, could you imagine her if she goes boots of agility, melee 8, armor shredder? Like, that's
there's a lot of interesting combos.
Right? Because she can use that +1 in combination with a defensive and offensive item, which I'm sure we can talk about later, you can really make her do whatever you want. She can go melee 9 with a Vorpal.
Yeah.
Melee 9.
Right?
She's coming for you, bro.
But the question is, what's she doing with it? Poison Cloud, critting for 4? Like, okay, probably better things you could do.
Dude, your whole list will be poisoned, all the time.
This is true. But then you make her, right? So instead, give her melee 8 with the Vorpal, and you give her boots and the +1 adj for her level up. Now she's melee 8, agi 7. Like I said, so there's so many different things you could do with her. But I still think your first level up is physical augmentation.
I could see it being restore if you're playing against Astariel, Alandir.
Okay.
Stuff so that's going to...
We'll talk about the rest of these before we rate them. So restore removes a condition. Within 2 hexes.
Yep.
I think it's very good. It's usually the second one I would take. Clearly not as good as Isabel's Pulse. Also doesn't cost a fate. One of the few ways in the game that other people can remove conditions from friendly models. So that is a key ability.
Are we going to rate Phasma augmentation, or did we just...
Nope, we're just going to talk about them all and then kind of go in. Then we'll kind of rate them. Seduce. Target enemy within 4 hexes cannot target Nias in its next activation. Expires at the end of that model's next activation. I've taken this a couple times. It has been situationally useless.
Yeah, her defense is so high usually, or her agi is so high that targeting her is a very specific thing you're going to do with very specific models.
I could see this being very good against big hitting models. Like if you've got a Zanja or a Thorgar, those models might be able to punch through her agility. I can see this being like, no, your Zanja just doesn't get to punch my Nias, and you have nothing else on the table that can really get through her agility. I can see it, but
okay.
I can see that.
I can also see using it or taking this if she's your dedicated Soul Harvester and your primary objective is to keep her alive.
Sure.
Right? She can harvest a soul, point to the person right next to her and be like, you don't get to touch me. I get to have another activation in between to push you away or to heal Nias or to do something. So and that's why I took Seduce when I took it, because I was using her as a primary Soul Harvester. I don't think it's bad, but I think it is one of the worst level 3 level ups. Okay, moving on to our last one, Shadow Meld. This one only costs a fate instead of an action point, and we know how much I love that. Gains stealth, expires at the start of Nias's next activation. Jeremy?
I kind of hate it. I think it's pretty bad. You're using a fate to gain stealth. Anybody who's going to actually do anything to her, I think, is charging her. Do not like.
Kenny?
I concur.
Okay.
I'm just not impressed by that.
I just think that so Shadow Meld and Physical Augmentation are both abilities you could get with a magic item.
Yep.
Right?
It's a free one for the stealth.
Shadow Meld's free. The Physical Augmentation both cost a fate. So clearly, I think it's a stronger ability. You know, gaining plus one to something is stronger than the gaining stealth.
Yes.
I don't think
I can get stealth in a forest or in smoke.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think it's worthless. Obviously, you could, you know, harvest a soul, stand out in the middle of the field and pop a fate and be like, you can't touch me. And then
which is only really relevant against, like, how many models? Whatever.
But again, this is why demons are great. One of the key things is it's not useful all the time, but if you're playing, you know, Istariel, Alendir, Abathus, and I'm like, oh my god, all of a sudden, Shadow Meld might be something I would look at getting. So, not useless, just probably one of the least taken of her level abilities, and highly scenario and opponent dependent. Okay, let's rate them. Physical Augmentation, Kenny.
It's just always great, right? I'm gonna call it an 8. No matter what model you put it on, getting a plus one to anything without actually putting an item on it is fantastic. I'm not going to say it's game-breaking, but it's great.
Jeremy?
Of level-up things you want to do, this one, I think this is a 9. It just, whatever you need it. I love it.
I'm going to give it an 8, along with Kenny. Nias is usually getting levels anyway. I really want her to get to level 2. You usually get the Agi 6. That's why it's pretty high. But it also does not change your playstyle in the least. It's just icing on the top. Next up, Restore. Kenny.
Removing conditions is always great. It removes only one condition for one AP. That can save a model's life. I'll give it a 6. I don't think it's the first thing you take unless somebody's got like an Istariel. Or an Alendir, or something like that you're really, really scared of. But it's good. When it works, it's great.
Jeremy?
5. I think it's good. It's probably better than some, but I think it's good.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3. I just really think it's underpowered.
Really?
For a potential level 2 or level 3 active ability. It gives her something new, but... again, compare it to Isabel, right? A pulse not only affects multiple models, but removes every condition.
Isn't that an AP and a fate?
It is an AP and a fate.
And isn't that a different... And doesn't she have to be holy to do that? Is that the holy side? Or does that just...
No, just base, right?
I can't remember now.
Yeah, that's her level 1 active ability, Mass Restoration.
I like the ability to, if someone gets knocked down and they've already activated, like fixing that. Because that
that's
like end of times bad.
That's the corner case where I do think it's actually super good. But I would much rather this ability be longer range if it really is remove one condition from one model. Or remove all conditions from one model at current range 2. I do not think she should have a pulse. I think that should be key to what makes Isabel Isabel. But one condition within 2, other than the knockdown, which is where I think it's absolutely worth it, is relatively meh for me. So I'm going to give it a 3.
I would like it to see more hexes, but I still think being able to remove a condition is pretty good. If it was like 3, or maybe even 4 hexes, but I would say 3 is probably be fine. But no, I mean, I get it.
Okay, next up is Seduce. Target enemy within 4 hexes cannot target Nias. I'll go first. We're going to give this a 2 in terms of reasons I would level up Nidus. It's just more icing. It's a possible ability you might want to use, but is probably not going to have game-changing impact the way I want some of my level-up abilities to. Kenny, response?
I'm at a 3. I think it's situationally okay. I don't even know if I would call it situationally good, but I do find it kind of interesting that you can point at someone's biggest model, like a Brock or a Thorgar or a Zanja, and just say, nope, you're not attacking me, fuck off.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm going to go with a 4.
Okay.
Having a model standing next to you and being able to say nope, not having to deal with the walk away, free strike, and all that crap. Like, just say nope.
Wait, what do you mean? Say it again.
If how many times has, you know, a model like this been at like 7 health and you have Drogoth standing next to you or whatever that can attack you 400 times? And instead of taking an attack, oh, I guess you can. You can stay where you're at. You could actually do this. You could seduce and then walk away, right?
You
get a free strike?
You would be free struck.
You would be free struck, yeah.
So you can,
that's different?
It only prevents targeting in that model's next activation. So the free strike would happen. So it would be much better to just stand there next to Drogoth.
Well, that's what I was also saying. Okay. Like, yeah. I was saying both at the same time, essentially. Okay. But yeah, being able to do that, especially if it's Thorgar, like, good God, you're dead or not dead. Choose.
If you could ever set it up to where she's, like, you know, soloing people on the side, that would make it really, really good. So I can see some corner case scenarios where this becomes a much better ability.
She charges in, does damage, and then says, you can't attack me next turn.
Well, it's not.
That is really cute.
It's not just next turn. It's that model's next activation. So it's like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, what am I going to do over here on this flank? Nothing. Yeah,
that's cute.
Although I want to say the game rarely has 1v1s. Like, it's usually a 2v2 or something to that effect. Okay,
I could still be pretty good.
Yeah,
it's situationally like, oh shit, oh no. But
reminds me of Demolition Man, right? When the guy's like, programmed not to kill? He's like, okay, cocktail. I'm going to need some people released from prison. And then he goes back, and he's like, you can't kill me. He's like, nope, but this guy can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks. I can't target you. If only I had another model nearby. Anyway.
Oh, that's such a great movie.
It is. Shadow Meld for a fate gain stealth. It's also going to get a 2. Clearly not useless, but would have to be very low on my list of abilities I am actively trying to level for. Kenny.
I'm at a 1. I would never take this. I don't care what the matchup is.
Wow. Jeremy.
Out of her other ones, I can't imagine taking this, but, you know, corner case, I'll give it a 2. It's not a 1, but I'll give it a 2.
Okay. Is there anything, since we apparently don't like it very much, anything we could do to perhaps make this more interesting? We're not going to do this as a permanent thing. We could do the infamous dev corner.
Oh god.
Well, instead of like Shadow Meld, give her
no. We're different? Just, again, I'm not going to rebuild anyone from the ground up, but if we think this is so underpowered that you would never take it, right? So that means for you, this ability doesn't even exist on her card.
Correct.
Either you're right. And if you're right, this needs changed, or you're just talking out your ass. Because I don't believe anything should ever be printed on a card that is useless. I don't think the devs do either. So they probably think you're wrong. But let's assume you're not.
Okay.
So how would we change this? We tweak this to make this not wasted ink. I'll go first. Let's gain stealth. I would say Nias and adjacent models gain stealth.
Or how about she just flat out gains stealth? It's not a fit. It's just a straight up active ability.
Gains an innate ability stealth?
Just gains stealth.
Okay. Boom.
No fate, no AP.
I'm there. No, that's the one I like.
Okay. She just permanently has stealth.
She just gets stealth.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't think that breaks anything. I don't think that's.
No, you can still charge her.
That would be cool.
You can still charge her. You can.
But for a fate. Abilities on Soulgazers using fate is such an abomination. Like, you're using fate for fucking rerolls trying to gather souls, right? Like, you just don't have it.
You don't want a model burning through all your fate.
So the whole thing.
Rolling.
So here would be one of my arguments. One of my arguments is, let's take another demon, Mazuzi, who gets a level two, goes to level two, and takes fucking Pain Reflector. Pain Reflector or fucking Shadow Mill. It's like, it's what? Apples and fucking beetles? Like, it's I understand it's one ability, it's whatever.
They do different things, Kenny.
Yes, they do different things, but when I'm looking at these abilities, I know I just jumped the fucking shark big time there.
You did.
I came in hot. I'm gonna cool it off for a minute. But I'm looking at these level two abilities, and if I'm picking one, okay, you got Visible Augmentation, Shadow Meld, Seduce, Restore. I will make an argument for Restore or Seduce, but Visible Augmentation is going to happen whether it be level two or level three, right? That's almost guaranteed.
You would think.
So you're only getting one other ability, really, and it's going to be Restore, Seduce, or Shadow Meld. When the fuck would you ever take Shadow Meld over Restore? Even if somebody only can do poison, like if you've got a Rakir, and that's the only thing that you have that can do anything, like lay a condition on me, I still don't want to be poisoned. Or if you're trying to do the poison bomb with Vizil, Rakir, whatever, I'll still take Restore so that I can remove that condition. So when you activate Fazil and you give my model poison, well, I'm going to go ahead and take that poison off, so Rakir just can't do it. So Rakir has to make an attack first, maybe. He doesn't get the poison. But, I mean, those are kind of back and forth. Seduce, same thing. Like, if you've got a Thorgar standing next to my Nias and I level up, and then I can go ahead and take this ability and then use it immediately. I would never take Shadow Meld because... An item does it for, what is it, free? Like, it costs nothing?
To buy, yeah.
So, let me throw this out there, too. One of my biggest problems is, she's already Agi 5. If you're shooting at my Agi 5, that's probably a good thing. I'd rather waste those, so you're shooting shitty instead of shooting at my Agi 3.
Probably Agi 6.
Like, and plus, she's probably Agi 6. Most of the time... it's better, or you're wasting your shots against a high Agi model, so then you're just going to stealth it, which is weird. It just, like, overlaps in a weird way. So you're not using your Agi that you paid for and that makes her awesome to deny. It's just a weird thing.
Now, yeah,
so I'm with you, Aaron. I like the range 2 pulse or whatever of making people stealth with her. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would probably... And if that costs a fate, I can see that. Or if she just straight up gains stealth, I could see maybe a world
that would
that
be
happens.
Fine, too. Gaining stealth just randomly, or gaining it as a level against a list that has a lot of guns. Like, okay, cool. I'll do that one. I'll take my plus one to whatever, and I'll do that one.
And you can give yourself plus one. Yeah, whatever. Melee, so that... whatever. It doesn't matter. And you just final gain stealth. I can see it. I mean, I'm still probably not going to take it, but I can see a reason why I would. I would never take Shadow Meld. To me, it's just not on her card. I would never take it. I would never look at it. I wouldn't care.
Okay.
Like, how many times? I think Rakir just get it innately.
He does.
When he levels up, and I never fucking use it. Because I just don't. There's other things I'd want to do with it anyway. This is the same situation as if... even if you gave it to me for free, I would, like, how often am I actually going to use Shadow Meld?
I'm with you, man.
So we've managed to hit a Kenny Rage Corner.
Welcome for... like, while in Dev Corner?
Now, listeners, listener, you're welcome. You're welcome.
But it's just... maybe call it Shadow Orb. Call it, like, a fucking Globe of Shadows. I don't give a shit. Do with Aaron's idea, call it Globe of Shadows.
Well, she is
Shadow
Grognar. That would be cool if you could pick... if you could pick a level where... and if that wasn't a...
I take it all back. She's Grognar. Fuck that shit.
Fuck that.
Take it all back.
Yeah, exactly. You big baby.
Okay, so as you mentioned, she's in Grognar. Also, is it Bruellen? Yeah.
Torn.
Yeah, she's your Bruellen, baby.
She's Torn. Not Bruellen.
Oh, you're right. She was Adagod when I played her.
You used to play her Adagod, yeah.
Torn and Krogner. So where do we see her fitting?
I've got a question for you. So I'm going to play Tomas in the next season, part 25 of the That's Judgment folks. Should I put her in my Tomas list?
I'm intrigued.
I have only Mizuzi as my Soul Harvester. You want to hear the list? I can just tell you the list.
Well, so why would you want to put her in there? Tell me the logic in that.
Because she is a melee 7 demon Soul Harvester with agility 5, but she is going to be able to poison, and poison may be a second model. Fazeel can pestilence people, which is basically like a poison bomb. She also has the ability to restore to remove conditions off my models that I don't want to have it, like burning on Fazeel. She can also heal Fazeel. I'm kind of looking at it as like a Fazeel support piece that can also grab a soul. So like if I level her up and she's agility 6 and she's standing behind Fazeel and she's healing him and Fazeel kills a model, she gets the soul.
So I assume you're also taking Rakir?
Yes, but...
I love this.
So I was going to say, I really like this.
I'm a big fan of dual soul harvesters in the Vito format. Go ahead.
I've been experimenting without doing that. I did it with Ista. I've done it with Tomas. But the list is Fazeel, Rakir, Mazuzi, Maltik, Dawnregar, Victor, Kane. Yeah. Do I just dump Victor? Because Victor's kind of there for ban bait, but I could just dump Victor.
No, I like Victor. I like your entire list. You just have to ask yourself, if they ban Mazuzi, then you play Nias, and she's your primary soul harvester, I'm assuming.
Yes.
If they don't ban Mazuzi, if they're like, we're going to ban one of your two assassins, like Fazeel is gone, who do you drop? So my question, the reason I'm asking this is because I want to see you try to use her in that melee form. And in fact, I think rather than treating these leagues as like tournaments where we're all just trying to like perfect a list, like I would just rather encourage you to play her as a melee beater the entire league and see how that works out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to perfect the list. If I was, I wouldn't be playing Tomas.
So I would like to see how she pairs with some of those models. And the problem is at that point, you're dropping Victor or Donnie.
Donnie's the only tank
Whatever, tanks are weird.
Feel like I would ban. Overrated. Almost feel like I would ban Kane before Donnie.
Oh, you have Kane?
Yeah.
I miss Kane. Okay. You mean drop Kane? Yeah, okay, I'm fine with that.
Or drop Kane over. I mean.
So you could run Fazeel, Rakir, Nias. That's the combo I really like. Mm-hmm. With Victor. No, with Mazuzi and Donnie.
Well, because I have Fazeel, Rakir, Mazuzi, Maltik, Dawnregar, Victor, Kane. Maltik, something I've been shoehorning in, and she can also just deal with models that have res because she can just do damage.
Sure, okay, really so that list didn't have Nias, so you have to drop one for Nias.
So I got to drop one for Nias, yes.
Okay.
So do I drop Kane, Victor? I don't want to really drop Maltik because she's my only real ranged model. I have Victor, but I just shoehorned Victor in. I wasn't playing him before because I'm assuming he's going to get changed. And he was ban bait, basically. But I'll play him if somebody gives him to me. Like, okay.
Sure. you can get rid of Kane. You can just run Rakir, Fazeel, Nias, Maltik, Mazuzi. If they want to ban Victor.
What I have discovered so far is most people are banning Victor or Dawnregar. So I get to play Fazeel, Rakir, Mazuzi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people have been banning Mazuzi because Mazuzi's just super good.
Yep. And I don't know if that's the best list, but I'd like to see it played.
Yep. Okay. So I'll probably just drop Kane and shoehorn her in and see how it goes.
Could also drop Maltik, but I understand like you want her to be able to answer some of the Donnies of the world.
I think she answers questions that some people ask that I can't answer any other way.
Yep.
So I have been liking her a lot.
Interesting topic in itself.
Yes. So, yep.
All right, we're running a bit long. Let's go ahead and do. That's okay. Our champions and peasants. I will start us off this week, and you said her name several times already, Maltik. She will be my champion. She has been doing kick-ass things, pushing people into things, surviving stuff she shouldn't have. And then my peasant is also Maltik. She's died like a horrible, horrible bitch. She didn't push things I wanted. She didn't do anything at all. And she can die in a flaming fire. So, with that in mind, Aaron, who is yours?
I don't remember my game for last week. Kenny will have to remember it for both of us.
I don't fucking remember it. I was so pissed off at the Jeremy game that I barely remember the car game. And that is fucking true. I'm so mad at myself that I barely remember.
Was there any models that you especially dug last week or did not like last week?
Who, me?
Not for specifics. Yeah.
Fazeal. I had a really good time playing Fazeal.
Okay.
Good. I've always loved the guy, right? He's what got me. He's basically what got me into the game. And he's been putting in some work for me lately. So.
Yeah.
And my
Aaron?
Peasant. I don't. Kane's been my peasant really lately, to be honest.
Yeah.
He just.
Yeah.
He's not performed well. I'm starting to sour on Kane a little bit. Because I feel like for him to monster hunt, I have to have the hunter's knife.
Yep.
And I'm not a fan of that. So.
But what a hunter he is, though.
Once he gets it, sure, he'll one round any monster out there. But to spend that fate early for that, just for that, and then when the monsters are all dead on turn one, and then turn two, he's standing there doing nothing. I have found him lacking a little bit. So.
Yep. Any notables, Aaron?
Nope. I don't even remember the game. I'm sorry, Kenny.
It's okay.
That's all right. You disrespect me all the time, so I'm used to it.
Wonderful. Any last comments?
We need to give Nias a hotness rating. I am going to give her a 9.
For the model itself?
The model itself. Svelte, Zintich, Slanish combination.
Yeah, she's pretty sweet looking. I'm going to go with a 9 as well.
Yeah, I don't remember what I actually initially had proposed for it, but I'm going to say 8.
Okay.
And on that, sexy Zinchi models don't do it for Kenny?
No, not
because he's an idiot.
Demon
not an orc, not orc
really
enough?
Well, yeah, orcs and demons really aren't my thing.
Yeah. All right, with that, sexy demon, Slaneshi, whatever the fucks, y'all have a good night. That's been Jeremy.
And Aaron.
And Kenny.
Take care, play more games, all of that. Bye.